change in me. I am delivered, praise the Lord. I am delivered by His word. Once I was bound by sin and Satan, I am delivered, praise the Lord. There's a great change in me, great change in me. So free, He brought me out of bondage into liberty. Praise the Lord, there's great change in me. There's a river of life flowing out from me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, the captives free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out from me. Spring up all well within my soul. Spring up all well and make me whole. Spring up all well and give to me that life upon. There's a river of life flowing out from me, that makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Bring up all well within my soul. Bring up all well and make me whole. Bring up all well and give to me that life abundantly. River of life flowing out. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me.
Praise the Lord. Do we know that song, More Abundantly? Do you know one, Matthew? More Abundantly. Amen. Let's sing a verse or two of this before we turn to the Word of God, because they're doing well. Praise God. Go ahead, brother.
Trusting Jesus all along the way, does He grow more precious to your heart each day? Are you His disciple? Test His word and see. He will give the Spirit more abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, that's the might of life. And more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that the might of life. And more abundantly, for His matchless favor, magnify the name of our gracious Savior, who from glory came. And the saints adore Him for His wondrous word, sealing our redemption through the crimson blood. More abundantly, more abundantly, that the might of Christ. And more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that the might of life. And more abundantly, come to Him believing, hearken to His call. All from Him receiving, give to Him your all. Jesus will accept you. blessing more abundantly. More abundantly than you might have thought. And more abundantly than you might have life, but more abundantly.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us close our eyes this evening. If you have a need tonight, lift your hand up before the Lord this evening. Praise God. God bless, God bless, God bless. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you this evening that we can enter in boldly because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we thank you for the words of this song more abundantly. Lord, you've given us life and life to spur. Lord, you said, press down and running over the top. We thank you tonight for your provision. We thank you tonight for salvation, for the Holy Ghost, for the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, we bless your name. You're coming again. Father, I pray the Holy Ghost will move in this room. Have thy way, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives, in our homes, in these meetings, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, for every hand raised, I pray you'll meet every need and answer the prayers in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you tonight that you loved us when we looked unlovable. We bless you that you lifted us out of a horrible pit and you've set our feet on the King's highway, and you brought us into a place called straight. Lord, I pray now you'll fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost and fire in the name of Jesus. May there be an impact in this town, land, in this area with the power of Jesus Christ. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost right now to help me, and I thank you that you do in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for Brother Brian tonight. As he's traveling right now, you'll bless him, strengthen him, be with him, be near him, fill him. Oh God, grant him your mercy and your grace. As he comes, prepare the way, prepare the hearts. And oh God, stir us, I pray, in the mighty name of the Lord. Father, bless your word tonight. And everyone in this room, we pray you'll bless them. And for those that's nearly saved, God, give them grace and strength. In the name of the Lord. And we ask you'll save all of our children and all that's near and dear in our hearts. Save every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. God bless each one. Just a wee note. Saturday, this is Matthew's giving this wee note. Brother Matthew has to work. They won't give him the time off. But he's wanting it off. And he might still get it off, but at the moment they're not letting him off. But he wants, if there's a volunteer, what he can show how to work that computer for when our brother Brian comes Saturday, well, we can have the projector and everything working. So if anybody would volunteer to help out our brother Matthew, please do that. Praise the Lord. Tonight I'd all prepared what I was going to preach, and then I was sitting at the table and I could not get settled on it. Then the Lord's given me this, and this is maybe for like a gospel message, but I'm going to go ahead anyhow, because I know the Lord makes no mistakes. We can make them, but he doesn't make any. Amen. Blood covenant. Let me read you from Hebrews 9, verse 21 to 24. Hebrews chapter 9, and I love the book of Hebrews. I'm sure everyone knows that. You know, if you were to go back over this, you would see where, if you were to go even back to the children of Israel in Exodus, you would see for they had a new beginnings where they went out, where the blood was applied, and it was called new beginnings. And when we're born again, we come into not just new beginnings, but we're new creatures. But something has started, what we didn't walk in or have before. Now we're walking with the Lord. Let's read from verse 21. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of the things in heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with the better sacrifices than these. Now we want to take a text tonight from this book of Hebrews, and I won't try and be too long. And we notice several vital contrasts as in this book of Hebrews, and please understand what I mean by that. There's a contrast of Moses and Jesus. And you know, Lord, that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then you have the contrast of Aaron the high priest and Jesus, the new high priest, or the greater high priest. And you know that Aaron's priesthood was for a time, but Christ's priesthood is forever. And one of them is our Aaronic priesthood, and one of them is the Melchizedek priesthood. And you see, Jesus Christ came after the order of Melchizedek. And you know what the thing about Melchizedek is, the keys. He had no father, no mother, no ascent, no descent. That's God. That is God. I believe Melchizedek was actually God, because he met Abraham and he blessed him. And you know, God can take a lump of clay and make a body and step into it any time he wants, because he's Almighty God. Just like he can form eyes in somebody or form a hand or anything, God can do anything because he's Almighty God. It is not only the contrast of the bloods, but also the two tabernacles. There was the one tabernacle reared in the wilderness by Moses, and then there was another tabernacle which was heavenly, which was in the heavens. And there was one tabernacle, there's a contrast in the type with all of it. You could go right down the whole line with the contrast and the types, and it's wonderful really how it all works, you know. And you know, even the priest, the very priest in the Old Testament, could not go in until he offered for himself first, then for the people. Name the contrast and the type. Because Jesus Christ never offered for himself, because he had no sin. That's your contrast. Then the type, he offered for the people. And you see, one was had to be offered before they could go in, but the other had no sin of his own, so he didn't need to offer. But as a willing subject, he went and did it for me and you. He took our place. Praise God. And the latter one, Jesus answered, and Jesus sits down as the high priest in heaven. You see, in the earthly tabernacle, there's no mention of them sitting down. You don't read that the priest goes in and sits down. You actually read that they tied a rope on his ankle. And at the bottom of his garments is the pomegranates and the bells. And the reason they tied the rope on his ankle, he had to go through all the things, you know, the white garments and then the other garments over it. And he wore so many different garments. And all his garments speak of Christ. But when he went in, when he reached the place of destiny where he was going, the holiest of holies, if the bell stopped ringing, they knew he was dead. That God hadn't accepted him. He had missed out on something. He had to do everything exactly according to the law. And if he missed one thing, he was dead. And the rope was on him so they could pull him out, because they weren't allowed to go in or they would die. But you know, when Jesus Christ entered the heaven, the bells are ringing continually, spiritually. There's a ringing of the bells. There's a new and living way made into the very presence of Almighty God because of this high priest, Jesus Christ. And anybody can go in. Any man or any woman, the Bible says, whosoever will may come. So you don't have to be of a certain lineage or of a certain breed, but the whosoever. And thank God Jesus came to save no one but sinners. No one but sinners. He didn't come for the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This scripture here tells us how these tabernacle vessels were clean. Notice the startling here that Adam's sin had touched even to heaven itself. Verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. The whole way to heaven. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. You see, do you realize the Old Testament saints that were held in a place, a realm, called Abraham's bosom, could not be released from it till Christ went to the cross. And until the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, they couldn't be released. But when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, they were released. But they couldn't be until that time. Because, you see, the Old Testament never made the comer perfect. The Old Testament sacrifices only covered sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ washes it away from the very mind and memory of God. Your sins and iniquities, he says, will I remember no more. Jeremiah tells us that. This is the climax of it all. This lets us see the contrast of God's estimation of the blood of Christ and the blood of bulls and goats. As we come to the value of the blood of Christ, as God values it, then the problem of our standing and relationship never enters our mind. Because when we look at the value of the blood of Jesus Christ, it's superior to any animal or beast. It's God's blood. It's not Jewish blood, and it's not Gentile blood, but it's God's blood, and it's supernatural blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ can never congeal, it can never dry up, it can never waste away or lose its power or lose its strength. The old song says, thy blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved by sin no more. This is the new mediator we're working with tonight, Christ. The blood of bulls and goats under the first covenant only cleansed or sanctified to the flesh, but the blood of Christ is to cleanse our conscience from dead works. You see, do you know why the Old Testament could never cleanse your conscience? There was no life with it. It was just a chemistry. That's all it was. It was just a chemistry. But the blood of Jesus was a chemistry, but it was more than a chemistry. Because there was the life that was in the blood of the Holy Spirit. And it is the life of Jesus Christ that comes back in us when we're marked with the blood. That's why it says in Romans of the same Spirit that raised you from the dead, would raise Christ from the dead, dwells in you. It will quicken your mortal body. That's the life of the blood. It's the life of the blood. It's the life of God. Eternal life. That life comes in me and you. You say, how can there be life with the blood? Leviticus teaches it. The life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it for you upon the altar. That's the Bible. There's life in the blood. But that animal didn't have a soul. But Jesus Christ, you see, is a quickening spirit. A quickening spirit. The Bible says we all die in Adam, but we all live in Jesus Christ. As we bear the image of the heavenly, that's Adam, or the earthly, which is Adam, we shall bear the image of the heavenly, Jesus Christ. For one man was of the earth, earthly, the other man is the Lord from heaven. And when you think of blue, you're thinking of the Lord from heaven. Think of it. When you think of the blue, you're thinking of the Lord from heaven. And when you take the color blue, when you study the tabernacle, it speaks of the Lord from heaven. When you take the white, it speaks of his righteousness. When you take the purple, it speaks of his royalty. When you take the gold, it speaks of the supreme deity. That it is God in Christ in all his fullness. For the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in him. My, even everything about it in that Old Testament, the very crown that the priest wore round his head and the little thing at the front, the gold bit, speaks of the mind of Christ, which is God's mind out to the people. When he did it, that was God's will come of the pass. God's mind. And the Bible says, let the mind of Christ be in you. We're to cast down all reasoning. The devil can bombard our thinking, our thoughts, everything. We're to cast down all reasoning. All reasoning. When he tells you that you're not saved, when he tells you you're not healed, you're to cast down all reasoning. You're to believe the word of God. And the word of God says in Joel 2, in Acts 2, and in Romans 8, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's word settles it. Amen. Because God accepted Jesus' blood, he carried it to heaven, the holiest of holies, and he has become, by that one act, the mediator of a new covenant. And not only did Christ do that, you see, I told you, the earthly priest in the Old Testament, he never sat down. He went in and he came back out again. He could not remain. But Jesus Christ sat down because he finished the work. That's why he sat down. When you get the job finished, you sit down. And the work's finished. Christ doesn't have to come back to do a bit more. And you don't need somebody to give you him a hand to do a bit more to save you. It's been all done and paid for. It's complete. And it's all in him. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's the only way to God, Christ Jesus. The church, the lodge, none of them things are the way to God. You could be members of all them things and be absolutely lost and on your way to hell. But if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've asked him in your heart and he's cleansed you, you're on your way to heaven, because Jesus is the only way to God. The only way. The reason man needs a mediator is because he has lost his standing with God. He's no ground on which he can approach God of his own. There's not one of us could say, well, Lord, I've had a real good week. I'll approach you because of my goodness this week. Just at the last, you could have a real great day at the last of it. He could fall short, couldn't you? That's why it doesn't depend on that. It doesn't depend on how good we are, because the Bible tells us it's not by works. Natural man is really an outlaw against God. An outlaw. You hear these boys preaching, they could redeem themselves. They should come and listen to me for a while, for I'll soon tell them they're outlaws. I'll tell them there is a stink in God's nostrils. I'll tell them that the Bible says all the righteousness is filthy rags before God, and they're as lost on their hearts as black as pitch. There's only one thing can clean them up. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. But it won't do it till they acknowledge it. They must acknowledge their condition. And as soon as they acknowledge their condition, there's hope. Thank God there's hope. Ephesians 2 and 2, where in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there's two spirits at work. There's a Holy Spirit working, and there's a spirit of disobedience. That's the devil. He's working all the time. He wants to get God's people to twist with each other, and then he wants to work like that, and then he wants unsaved people to think they're all right. If you've done well and you're all right. If you're a member of something, you're all right. It'll not matter what you're a member of. If you're not born again, you're lost. You need to be a member of the family of God. And the only one way into it, you know how you get into your family? You were born into it. You were born into your natural family. You were born of your mother, and you became part of that family, and you took on the family name because you were born into the family, and you came forth by water and blood, and you're born again the same way. You're born into the family of God. God's no grandchildren, only sons and daughters, and you have to be born of the water and the Spirit of God. Born again and born into the family of God. Jesus is now the one and only mediator between God and man. The blood of bulls and goats did not take away sin. It merely covered it temporarily. But when Jesus came, he redeemed all those who had trusted in the blood of bulls and goats. Those that were faithful in the Old Testament, that trusted in it, and they ended up in Abraham's bosom, the Lord released them. He brought them out. They obeyed what they had for their day. How many understands that? But you see, John came preparing the people for a new message. Now, when John came preparing the people for a new oncoming message, John didn't say, preach me. John didn't say, look at me. You have to talk about me. John said the opposite to that. John said, I must decrease. He must increase. The one that I'm pointing you to is greater than me. He says, I'm baptizing you in water, under repentance in the name of the Lord. pointing you to one that's to come. But when he comes, I'm not even worthy to unloose the shoe latches. He will not just baptize you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's who John pointed us to. He pointed us to one that would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then when Jesus came and he said to John, you need to baptize me. And John said, no way. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so, that all scriptures will be fulfilled. For we must fulfill all righteousness. And we know that John took him down and baptized him. When he came up out of the water, like a dove came on him. The Holy Spirit coming over him. Just as the Bible had prophesied hundreds of years before it. And John knew that someone, that God had spoke to them, upon the one you see the Spirit coming upon and remaining upon, this is the one that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I tell you, he came. And it was no longer John's message. It was Jesus' message. It was no longer the ministry of John. It was the ministry of Jesus. And John even doubted it. He doubted it. After all he seen and after all he preached, he doubted it. He was in jail. He preached against Herodias. It's not lawful you take your brother Philip's wife. Or was it heard? And he preached against sin. And they're going to get his head cut off. You know the whole story with the dance. They got them to dance and all that stuff and chop his head off and put it in a charger. And John's back in jail. I'll tell you what. He was in a fix, wasn't he? But he sent, Jesus sent, the messengers tell him they sent, first of all, to Jesus, and Jesus sent them back. And he said, are you the one or do I look for another? And he said, go tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Go tell John. And when John heard that, he knew it. And he was ready to go. He must decrease, Jesus must increase. I tell you, brothers, we don't need some man to increase. We need Jesus to increase. Hallelujah. We want the Lord to increase. Thank God. He died for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant. Those sacrifices under the old covenant, you know, like the promissory note, which he cashed in Calvary. He paid for the whole lot. Everything. He paid for it with his own blood on the cross. Thank God for it. A written promise to pay a specified sum of money at a fixed time on a demand. And Christ paid for it all on the cross. And we're fully redeemed. The word redeemed means bought back. Bought back. Redeemed. That's why we need to sing about being redeemed. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We can't sing I'm redeemed by the church or the Pope of Rome. We can't sing I'm redeemed by some prophet. We can only sing, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There's not one other thing can redeem a man or a woman. Only the blood of Jesus Christ paid the price for our redemption. We need to sing about it. I believe the Holy Spirit likes it when we sing about it. We need to sing about the blood. That's why the old songs are the best songs. You see, all these new songs are about I, me, and him. And the Lord's name's not even mentioned half times. And sings about a king and it sings about a great one, but it leaves Jesus out. But I'm putting him in. Why would we leave him out? We need songs where he's mentioned. Because he said, if I be lifted up, my name, in my name. Ephesians 1:7, and whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's the blood of Jesus forgives you and cleanses you through the riches of his grace. God kept a covenant with Israel when he sent his son to become sin and laid upon him all the sins under the first covenant, that by accepting him as a savior, Israel might come into the promised redemption. Now the law didn't come, but all that says they're Israel, they're not Israel. We know that as well. But it's whosoever can come. Aren't you glad that it's whosoever? Now God knows everyone that's going to come, but we can't do that. We're not God. There's a lot of people think they are God, don't they? They think they're God. I'm in and you're out. Well, I'm glad they didn't put me in. And because they never put me in, they can't take me out. They never put you in, brother or sister, and they can't take you out. And you see, when God called Noah into the ark, God closed him in. God closed him in. And not only did God close him in, he was sealed in. He couldn't be lost. Why don't you let that sink for a moment? Because the Bible says in Ephesians, wherefore you're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, just the same as Noah's ark. Noah was sealed in. He couldn't be lost. The door was closed, and he never closed it. And the seal of God's the Holy Spirit in your life, and you never put it on it. He did. He sealed you. And he can't lose you when he seals you. You're sealed in. You've made it. The devil wants to tell you you haven't, but he's lying. He hasn't made it. His time's near up. That's the thing about it. He hasn't made it. The lake of fire's waiting on him. W.P. Nicholson said, when the Lord's putting him in, he'll be there to put his boot in him. Well, you know how he felt about it. He didn't like the devil. But I tell you, he doesn't like me and you. The devil's nothing good for us. But the Lord has. The Lord has. He put away sin. Put it away. He didn't cover it. He put it away. Your sins are gone. They're annihilated from the mind, from the memory of God. Washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And even when we're saved and we do something wrong, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He can still cleanse us. You know, Spurgeon was the man that said, you need to have a revelation of the blood. He says, your past, present, and future sins are gone. That's Spurgeon's the man preached that. He preached it. I believe what Spurgeon said. I also believe what he said as well. He said, I see preachers that don't preach in the blood. I've only one thing to say about them. Don't go the second time to hear them. Once would be enough. Is that the truth? Yes. You know, I remember one of the first times I preached in a fairly big church in Harare, Africa. It was Pastor Chess's church. He's went on to be with the Lord now. And the night I preached, Pastor Chess was away, and he was nice, and he gave me the pulpit. And I preached on the blood of Jesus. And a lot of people got saved that night. And it was a midweek service, but there probably would have been close to 1,000 people there. The place was packed out. And you know, he came back and he was telling afterwards. He says he had just come back from a trip. And a lot of the people that made a new hymn book and they took on the blood off it. They had a new revelation, you know. That they were no longer under the blood. That they no longer needed the cross. I can tell you who gave them that one. The same one that gave it to Cain. Are you with me? The same one. All you have to do is go right back in here in the book. The Bible. I mean, you go right back in the book, you know who started out with no blood. It was Cain. But God never accepted him. He said, you've offered well, but it's rejected. Abel came with a bloody lamb, and the Lord heard it and accepted it. And he was able to come in and fellowship with God. This is the great heart teaching of the book of Hebrews here. Under the first covenant, sin was covered. The best that the Israelite had under the first covenant was blood covering or atonement. The word atonement means to cover. He had atonement in the sense of a covering. But we have atonement and more. Atonement and more. We have atonement. We have blood that covers, but it also takes away. Hallelujah. But under the new covenant, sins are not just covered, they're put away. They're remitted. Remitted. That's why, you know, you would have to go to Romans 4 and you would see the imputation of the righteousness of God, where he doesn't impute your sins, but imputes his righteousness there as though they never had been. That's what remitted means. Remitted. The charges against you is dropped. Why? With no evidence. Where did it go? I've lost it all. How did you lose it? We can't find any evidence against this man. We can't find any evidence against this woman. It's all gone. The case is closed and dismissed. That's what the blood of Christ does for you. You're standing in state in the Lord's good tonight because of what he done for you. Hebrews 9:25-26, and I'm finishing in a moment. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, when you're reading Hebrews and you read the end of the world, you need to get this phrase scripturally correct. You talk about the end of the Old Testament dispensation. A new day was coming in, which is a new covenant. He's not meaning the end of the actual world. It's meaning the end of this Old Testament dispensation. That's when Christ came. Here it is in Hebrews again. When the fullness of time was come, God sent a son into the world. And then another bit says, and lo, it is written of him that I come in the volume of a book to do thy will, O God. He came as the word, John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You can read Jeremiah 31 verse 33 or Colossians 2:14, and you'll see sins are gone. But I haven't time tonight to go through it all. Verse 26 of Hebrews 9, for then would he have often have suffered since suffer. That means over and over again, but he couldn't. Would he? He would have since the foundation of the world. But as it is now, he has once for all time, or the word consummation. It's the same thing when you interpret it into your Greek and your Hebrew. The ages appeared to put away sin, abolish sin, but the sacrifice of himself. Listen to this. The expression end of the ages means where the two ages met. And you know, the Old Testament had a time where it met with the New Testament. And something took place. Something took place. And that's what he's talking about. The cross was where the old method of counting ended, and it was a place where the new time began. Now, it's like I said before, and I'm going to have to close because the time's going. I don't want to hold you too long tonight. You know, and I don't mean this badly. You know, I don't mean this in a bad way, and I don't want anybody to think it. But you see, when you're wishing somebody a happy birthday in heaven, there's no such thing. How could you wish somebody another year in heaven when they're going back? They cannot get older. They're turned back to young. And there's no such thing as time there like there is here. The Lamb is the light thereof. You can't say they're another year older in heaven. So they're getting older and then they come into the hundreds. There's no such thing. They're turned back. There is young men and women. Younger than me and you. And you think of it, the grandfather and the son and the grandson, three of them. All the same age. How do you work that out? That's the power of God. That's the power of God does that. Let's come and pray tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will have your way and the remainder of this service tonight. Help us to give you thanks. Help us to praise you. Lord, lead us and guide us, I pray. We're such a blessed people that we have a standing in you. Thank you, Lord, for that standing tonight, that our sins are gone because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless this service in Jesus' name. We're still praying. We're just saying Sunday, Samuel can't do this Sunday, so I'm going to take the morning service till discuss about water baptism. So please listen in and bring somebody along that needs to hear that needs baptizing water. And we're going to have a water baptism soon, the Lord willing.